You know, as men, greatness and success is really one crucial thing for us. And if I'm going to ask you today, how do you know that you are successful? How do you know that you are great? And maybe we're saying that we do not believe on this, but I would like us to check our hearts regarding this. Other people are saying, if you have money, then you are a success. You are great. We're saying it's not true to us, but think again. You know, what we're talking about here is our journey as men. And as men, we are leaders. You know, our wives must be nurtured by us. Our children, we need to direct our children. We need to be a leader of our ministries, our church, and we must lead our nation to greatness. And others are saying, if you have power, then you are successful. If you have control, then you are successful. If you have manipulation or popularity or fame, then you are successful. If you have prominence or preeminence in everything, then you are successful. You know, few years back, there were two ladies in our church, and they were actually joking at each other. And one woman was wearing a 24-carat earring, and the other one was wearing a fancy earring. And the one wearing a fancy earring was saying, "Oh, you're so blessed, sister, because you have 24K. And I just overheard them and went in front. And I was praying, preparing for me to have a sermon, and God told me, "How could you?" And I said, "What, Lord? How could you go in my presence without correcting your flock? Why? What's wrong?" And then God let me be reminded of the conversation. The woman wearing fancy earrings said to the 24K, woman with 24K earring, "You're so blessed." And the Lord right there checked me. Whose standard is that blessing? Is it mine or yours? And I went back to those two ladies and I said, "You're wrong. The blessing of God cannot be measured of what we have in our hands, but what we have in our hearts." As a matter of fact, I would like to solicit your attention in order for us to understand that there could be one way that is not popular to the world, but is the way of God. And that is brokenness. A few years back, I went to Laos. We smuggled Bibles with our students from our academy. And I was talking to a Laotian pastor, and he said, "You know, I go to prison every 3 months. Because in Laos, when you preach the gospel, you go to prison. And all of the prisoners, actually most of them, are pastors. And the prison cells are becoming a prayer room and a planning room for pastors. For if you got in prison and you're going to go free, and I'm going to be imprisoned, then you will go to the last place I've been to, and you will continue the work." And then I look at this Laotian pastor and I ask him, "How could you overcome the threats and the fear of even leaving your families?" And he told me right into my eyes, and he said, "Look at me, brother. How can you kill a dead person?" And right then and there, I recognized that brokenness is God's way to greatness. And God did not call us to be successful. God called us to be faithful. Tell the person next to you, "Be faithful." And God will give us success. So I would like to lead you into an exhortation about brokenness as God's pathway for greatness. And I would like to suggest that there are things that are happening in our lives. There are two words that I would like you to remember: changes and transitions. So let's talk about change. Remember, when you were born, transitioning to become a little child. To some of you, it's going to be a long, long while. To me, it's just like 20 years ago. But you see, understand that there's a lot of change happening in our lives from the way we were born and from the time that we were child. Then from our childhood days, going to the school, it's totally, there are group of things that are changing in our hearts. You know, from being school children or elementary students maybe, and up to high school students or being youth. There's a lot of changes happening to us. Do you still remember? Now, from being a youngster to a graduate, there's a lot of changes. So we need to understand that life is a series of changes and transition. And I was happy to hear Pastor Randy talking about Peter, because Peter had undergone a lot of changes, but when Jesus was telling him, "Do you love me?" Jesus was actually transitioning Peter. Because he was saying, "Peter, maybe you were thinking that I will be a political leader. I'm so sorry, Peter. That's not my call." You see, understand that God is transitioning us from being graduates to young professionals. And remember the first time you fall in love. And then actually deciding to be married with that person. There's a lot of changes. Okay? And there's a permanent thing in this world, and that is change. Tell the person next to you, change. It will happen whether you like it or not. Whether you're prepared or not, changes will happen. Every 6 years, you change your president. Every 4 years. To us, it's every 6 years. We need to be ready for changes. Now, after getting married, having kids. Okay? Having kids to having our grandchildren. There's a lot of changes happening. With our grandchildren and our children leaving us and an empty nest for some of us, only you and your wife. And of course, from the empty nest to death. You see, from our birth to our death, there's a lot of changes. And with changes come transitions. Tell the person next to you, transitions. Are we transitioning right? We're men and we need to transition right. That's why we need to hear from God. We cannot lead without hearing God. We cannot have a mandate without really having the commands from the Lord. And the broken cracks in our lives allows the most beautiful part of us to emerge. Last July 9, 2009, my senior pastor and my father in faith, after 18 years of leaving the ministry to me, said, "Sunday, I want the leadership back of the school and the church. Should you stay, you will be the mission pastor. Should you go, I will give you my blessing." I am an HR practitioner. I'm an HR executive by profession. And I know it's a letter of getting rid of you, clearing you off. You know, and that time I felt I was a victim. I was being cleared off. After many years of service, is this what I'm going to get? After being faithful, is this my fate? But understand that along with changes, there will be transitions. I will not really read every verse to you, but Genesis 37 reveals to us Joseph, his greatness, the dreams, the hopes, the favor that he has been receiving. But understand, from being favored, he was transitioned to being betrayed and abandoned. At one time he was favored, then the next day he's gone as favorite. And as actually he was declared as dead, you know, by his siblings. From being favored to being all by himself. You know, he was actually being comforted by his father. He was actually enjoying the love of his father. And all of a sudden, he was all by himself. Just think about the changes and the transition. From the pit to being sold as a slave. Now, when he was being taken out from the pit, maybe he had that hope that his siblings had a change of heart. And that he was sold to slavery. I don't want us to talk, or even let us think about Joseph, but think about our journey. Yeah. At one point, we're favored. And then the next time, we're abandoned, rejected. Now, from being sold, and from Genesis 39, 1 to 23, the story went on. Now, from the comfort of a home to the misery at the pit, just imagine the transition. At times, we're talking about Joseph and the story. But when we are undergoing trials, then we can relate with Joseph. And understand that God is writing your story. God is concerned about Joseph, but God is concerned about you. about your story. Tell the person next to you, God is writing your story. We cannot interfere. You know, we just need to allow God to write our story. From the misery at the pit to the pain of slavery. From the pain of slavery to the temptations of the palace. Almost there. At Potiphar's house. But all of a sudden, the temptations of the palace. From the temptations of the palace to the hardships in jail. And this were the pain and miseries really had caught Joseph. And from the hardships in jail to prominence over a nation. I would like you to understand that we heard the stories of Joseph's changes, but God carried him through the transitions. I do not know your transitions. Changes are external. Transitions are internal. Now, looking back, the first time I came in here was like 1999. I was very young then. I can't pretend to be young today. I'm no longer young. Look at the person next to you. If the person will tell you, I'm still the same, that's a big shame. Something must change. Something needs to change. We cannot stay the same. If God is with us, if God is for us, then we need to change. Tell the person next to you, you need to change. It's a must. And I would like you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 41. And God allowed Joseph to undergo a lot of things in order for him to be a story of God, a testimony of God. Let's read from Genesis 41. I love this portion of the scripture because here God revealed why Joseph needed to undergo the changes along with the transitions. Genesis 41, we're going to read from verse 38. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" Even Pharaoh had actually understood one thing. He said, so Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Look at the person next to you. The Spirit of God dwells in that person. The greatness of God is in that person. And it says, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to you, to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in a chariot as his second in command. And people shouted before him, "Make way!" Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all Egypt." Now understand, that is greatness. People saw Joseph's greatness, but they never saw the transitions. You know, people will see our greatness, but not the transition. Not the silent cries. Not our cries at the pit. Not when we're being betrayed and abandoned. No one will hear that. And you do not need an audience during that pain. You just need to have God. You have an audience of one, and that is God. You can pour out your heart to God just like Joseph did. And you will come out great. You will come out strong because that is your design. You were designed to be great. God did not bring you this far in order to lose in order to be worn out, in order to be tired, God brought you this far to be great. And understand that we need to allow God to make sense of our transitions. There was a time in my life that I did not understand everything that was happening to me. No, the ministry in the church was left to me by my pastor when I was 28. A young father, a young married man, 35 churches all over the Philippines. We have an academy. And then all of them, they leave one by one, one by one. I was asking myself, what's wrong with me? What's wrong about my leadership? Am I not good for them? Didn't I hear God? Betrayal upon betrayal. And when I resigned from that church, the brothers that I thought my brothers were not actually my brothers. It took one decision. That's why as men, we need to make decisions. And there will be life transitions in the process. Now, I am an HR practitioner, and whenever I handle change management in corporations, and they invite me to do that. Now, we have three stages of transition. First is ending, losing, or letting go. The second is the neutral zone, and the third is the new beginning. And along with the word, I would like to juxtapose this with this principle by William Bridges. Now, he's a Christian corporate executive also. Now, remember, in stage one of letting go, the more important something is to you, the more you want to hold on to it. When my pastor said, I want the ministry back, I would like to admit that there was that defiance in me. I was just so blessed that during that time, during our missions conference, Pastor Terry King and Sister Linda King were there. And somebody was checking my heart. I was saying, am I in rebellion? Am I in defiance? But, you know, most of us would say that we're not in rebellion. We're not in defiance. But you see, only a bit of rebellion would be dangerous enough to change your heart and change your destiny. Now, the more important something is to you, the more you want to hold on to it. You know, I was thinking if he suffered, if he had a sacrifice in the church, me too. I've been a pastor of this church for 18 years. I have my share. But my spiritual father is asking the leadership from me. And I gave it up. I gave it back to him. And then came the rumors. I was rebellious. I was stubborn. And one time I was really in deep misery. I had a chat with Pastor Terry. Am I really rebellious? Tell me, I'm open. If you tell me I am, then I will do the necessary thing I need to do. But Pastor Terry said, what did your spiritual father, your senior pastor, ask from you? The leadership of the church and the school after 18 years. And he said, he asked me back, what did you do? I gave it back to him. And he said, to the last minute, you were a son. Understand that it's hard to obey God. If it's easy, then everyone is obeying Him. It's hard. It takes a man to obey God. It takes maturity to obey God. It takes humility to obey God. You know, I have exerted the prime of my life in the church. I would just like to say, I have a stake. I have a right. But God says, what right? It's not your church. It's not their church. It's mine, Sunday. If I want you out, you're out. If I let you out of this, then I will bring you somewhere else. You see, the first stage is the one of letting go. The stage one is letting go. You believe you can't move on from where it used to be or the way you think it should be because you love it. You love that stage. You love the church. You love the people. And God is saying, let them go. Is there a portion of your life today that God is saying, let go? Let go. You've been holding it for so long. Let go. I want it. Let go. And so, you may demonstrate anger, sadness, depression, and defensiveness. There was a time that there were rumors going on, and then we were in a transition. I need to liquidate everything that I had, my car and everything that I have. And that day, our electricity was out, our telephone was out, our water was out, and there was no meal on the table. And I'm a father. I'm a pastor. I should be the provider of my household. And my wife was saying, what happens next? You know, and I heard of this rumor, and, you know, I got myself prepared. You know, I'm fixing myself. I will go to the church, and I will show to them who Sunday Tanyagra is. And my wife said, where are you going? I'm going to the church. I'm going to fight for my right. And my wife said, you will not go back to that place. And the Sunday that you're saying is long time dead. Go back to your room and pray. Praise God for wives like that. And I did, because I'm obedient. Genesis 39, 19 to 23, we can see here how Joseph had suffered and the ordeal and misery. But it says in Genesis 39, 21, but the Lord was with Joseph. Tell the person next to you, God is with you. We will never understand the power of that phrase until we come to that point of need of Him. God is with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Tell the person next to you again, God is with you. Whatever you are undergoing, God is with you. You know, it doesn't matter even if you're experiencing hell, as long as God is with you. What is heaven without God? And Genesis 39, 21 says, but the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. Verse 23, the chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. So on the first zone, stage one, let go. Let go of your rights. Tell the person next to you, let go. The second is the neutral zone. Okay? In the neutral zone, you realize you need to let go of the way it should be. It used to be. It can be uncomfortable because you realize change is happening and it is out of your control. And it's like swinging on a tightrope. I remember after resigning as a senior pastor of that church, I needed to go back to the financial district and apply for a job. You know, I planted the church, but the church could not support me and my family, so I needed to work alongside being a pastor. And I remember myself crying on the train. I was saying, I don't understand this, Lord. Please explain to me. I do not understand this. But you see, God doesn't owe us any explanation at all. We just need to obey. You know, if you will follow God until you understand, it's not obedience. You can follow God even if you don't understand it at all. Now, in Genesis 45, 5, it says, now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. When he was with his siblings and he tried to uncover himself, he said, no, don't apologize to me. God is the author of my story. He let it happen for something good. And it says in verse 7, God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Now, Joseph at this point said, God is the author of my life. You sold me to slavery, but it was not your doing. It was God. Now I understand. Now, therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and do not delay. And because of that, he preserved a generation. Our response to stage one is let go. Our response to stage two, let God. Tell the person next to you, let God. Don't struggle. Do not put your hand on it. Let God. Okay? Stage three is new beginnings. Now, look at change as an opportunity rather than a loss. I thought that I was cleared off. But now I understood God elevated me to a new level of faith. A pastor and a working HR executive at the same time. By His grace. You know, I cannot do it on my strength, but by His grace. Realize various possibilities of accepting change. Now, new beginnings can only take place when you are ready to make a spiritual commitment and an emotional commitment to it. That things had changed. I need to embrace new beginnings from God. Tell the person next to you new things. And our Bible school professor will say, we have two hands, the left and the right. One hand to receive, one hand to give. 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 And he asks, what if you receive and you do not give? Then you no longer have the capacity to receive from God. Now, in Genesis 47, 23 to 31, we had understood that come what may, through it all, the Lord was faithful to fulfill the dreams of Joseph. He's a man of dreams, but God is a dream provider, a dream fulfiller. He fulfilled the dreams of Joseph. For the stage one, ending or losing and letting go, we need to let go. For the second phase, the neutral zone, we need to let God. And the third stage or new beginning, we need to live a life from the Lord. I would like to give you this film clip. Now, while having that hurts and bitterness, I had a three-year-old boy, and he was actually watching Joseph, the Prince of Dreams. Who among you had watched that video? And this song was playing. And I was hurting. And God used my child watching this film to restore me. Restore my calling. Restore my confidence. Restore my dreams. That was Joseph. That was his story. But God is interested with yours. Right here. Right now. The way he was interested with Joseph. Is interested with you. And the song says, something must let go. Says, I thought I did what's right. I thought I had the answers. I thought I chose the surest road, but that road brought me here. You had plans. You have great plans. But it may not be good enough. And the song says, so I put up a fight and told you how to help me. This is my plan. Help me, Lord. This is how I would like it to happen. Say amen, Lord. Says, and I told you how to help me. Now, just when I have given up, the truth is coming clear. When we let go and we let God, there's a new beginning. It says, you know better than I. You know the way. Have let go. The need to know why, for you know better than I. Now it says, if this has been a test, I cannot see the reason, but maybe knowing I don't know is part of getting through. And I told God, I don't know. I don't know anymore how to be a pastor, Lord. I don't know anymore how to be a leader. I don't know how to provide anymore, Lord. I do not know how to lead anymore. And I had let go. And he came alive in my life. I tried to do what's best, and faith has made it easy to see the best thing I can do is put my trust in you. For the truth is, God will always be there for us. And the truth is, you know better than I, you know the way. Have let go the need to know why, for you know better than I. And here's the thing, during transition, this is the most dangerous thing or time in our lives, the crux in our lives. He says, I saw one cloud and thought it was a sky. People will surround you and will give you good counsels, but only God can really give you what you need. Other people will give you strategies. You don't need other strategies. You just need to obey God. I saw a bird and thought that I could follow, but it was you who taught that bird to fly. If I let you reach me, will you teach me? And I would like to end for us to understand that there are three things that we need to do. Let go, let God, live a life. And I would like to end with Apostle Paul. And I would like you to mark this in your heart this morning. There's greatness in brokenness because God meets us there to make sense of everything that happens to us. I promise you, one day, it will all make sense. One day. Maybe not today, but one day, someday, it will all make sense. And you will just look back and laugh at your mistakes and say, I was crazy back then. Because God knows better than us. Galatians 1, 1 to 2. And I would like you to focus on the date. It was written 54 AD. And Apostle Paul was saying, he declared himself, Paul, an apostle sent from men, not by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me. So confident, and that's not wrong after all. But look at the progression that Apostle Paul will have. Now, in another verse in Galatians 1, in verses 11, it says, as for those who were held in high esteem, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not show favoritism. They added nothing to my message. Apostle Paul was saying, I don't care about them. They don't have anything on my message. That was 54 AD. 1 Corinthians 15:9, written 56 AD. Apostle Paul declaring himself, for I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. What happened? He was saying, Paul, an apostle sent from men, not by a man. And 56 AD, for I am the least of the apostles. In Ephesians 3:8, written 60 AD, he said, although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. What happened after 4 years? 1 Timothy 1:15, written 64 AD. Here is a trustworthy saying, Apostle Paul said, that deserves full acceptance. Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. I am the chief sinner. Whatever happened was a working of brokenness. Welcome into God's hand. There's only two ways to be broken. In the hands of God, He will break you and mold you and put you back on track. Or to be broken in the hands of the enemy, where there will be eternal damnation. It's our choice. Now I would like to leave with Dwight L. Moody. He said, the world has yet to see what God can do in and with and through and for a man wholly committed to Him. And by the grace of God, I am that man. Shall we all stand, please, and claim this? I am that man, Lord. I am that man. Dwight L. Moody says, the world has yet to see what God can do in and with and through and for a man wholly committed to Him. And by the grace of God, I will be that man. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord and say, by the grace of God, I will be that man. Yeah. By the grace of God, I will be that man. By the grace of God, I will be. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the changes that are happening in our lives. Thank you for writing our stories. Lord, the way you were interested with Joseph's story, you are interested to our story. And right now, Father, we thank you with the series of changes happening to us. Let us not miss out your voice transitioning us to every change that is happening to us. Father God, when Jesus Christ, your Son, asked Peter, "Do you love me?" He was transitioning Peter. Transitioning him from bitterness to a life of joy. Transitioning him from a life of doubt to a life of faith. Transition us, dear Lord. Lord, we thank you so much, oh God, that we have not yet seen what you can do to a man that is wholly committed. And by the grace, by your grace, I will be that man. We give you praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you.